We're joined on the line by Jack Power, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times, for more on that story that you heard in the bulletin, the temporary suspension for 90 days of the worst of the tariffs by the US. Jack, thanks for joining us.
Good evening.
Global trade, normally a matter for the WTO. This is a bit more in the realms of WTF.
Yeah, well, I think it's government by Truth Social post and governed by social media. And what we've seen over the last few hours since Trump made this pretty dramatic U-turn to walk back some of the most swinging of his tariffs that he's put on nearly all global trade has been really a scramble by, you know, prime ministers, diplomats, central bank governors to understand exactly what has changed and the extent of the walk back by Trump. It seems from reading into it and reading the comments from some other US administration officials in the last while that the 20% tariffs that Trump announced across the board, basically on all imports coming into the US from the EU last week, that they will now be dropped down to 10%. So they'll be halved in this 90-day pause period. Now, what will likely remain is tariffs of 25% that Trump had already announced on steel and aluminium, on automobiles and cars being sold from Europe into the United States. Similarly, the tariffs were walked back down to this 10% level for, it seems, all other states, bar China, who Trump instead increased tariffs on. And that's kind of, I suppose, a separate track to this global trade war that Trump basically has unleashed since coming into office for the second time.
We've seen a statement from the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, who's over in the US at the moment. He had a meeting with the Trade Secretary, Howard Lutnick, over there. He says in his statement that they discussed pharma, but no clear outcome on that yet, which is obviously a cause of concern in Ireland, how that would be treated. But when he was speaking to our colleague Sean Whelan on RTE News in Washington earlier, he sounded a slightly optimistic note, it'll be fair to say.
Well, I think when it comes to pharma, there probably isn't a lot of room to be optimistic for Ireland. Trump, probably likely as Simon Harris was sitting down with Lutnick, Trump was speaking to reporters where he still expressed his desire to go ahead with tariffs on pharma. And I think it's important to understand, you know, people have probably heard the word tariff, I don't know how many times over the last few weeks, but Trump's sweeping tariffs on all imports are slightly separate to his tariffs on specific areas. This is steel, this is cars, this is pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, and those key industries are the ones that Trump seems much more determined to use tariffs to bring industry back from abroad, from China, from Europe, from Ireland, back, and manufacturing capacity back into America. So there's really, as I said, two kind of different tracks running there as well. One, the sweeping tariffs that were really for, I suppose, nearly dramatic effect to try and bounce trading partners into deals that Trump would see as more favourable to the United States. But when it comes to those specific products like pharma, which accounts for a huge proportion of Ireland's massive exports to the US, you know, Trump still seems to be, even as he's walking back his dramatic announcements from last week on from his so-called Liberation Day, Trump still seems pretty determined to go after pharma. And I think that still is the expectation in government buildings and in Brussels as well, that he will target pharma.
All right. As you say, there is that baseline 10% tariff still remaining in place. There are those huge tariffs on goods coming in from China, which will affect the American high street. And yet the markets have responded positively. I think the Dow Jones up around 7% following that announcement by Donald Trump on Truth Social that the excess above 10% is to be suspended for 90 days.
Yeah, and that was certainly what has pressured Trump into this about turn is the tanking of the stock markets and, more importantly, the bond markets today. There's, you know, there was this massive drop off and spiral that really kind of forced Trump's hand to do something and to about turn and roll back to some degree his broad, dramatic and chaotic tariff plan, really.
All right. Finally, any reaction within Europe, any briefings to suggest how Europe will proceed from here?
Not really. As we said earlier today, the European Union and the European Commission that's been leading the bloc's trade response approved counter tariffs, its first kind of batch and response. So it remains to be seen whether they will now be paused. They hadn't been due the first, I suppose, first round of those tariffs hadn't been due to start coming into effect on US products until next week. So you'll probably see some more substantive response from the European Commission and other European politicians tomorrow after people have had a little bit of time to actually get to grips with what the scope and the extent of this Trump pause amounts to. And actually, just to clarify the most important point, whether it does apply to the EU, because, you know, Trump has said this pause applied to partners that hadn't taken retaliatory efforts back against him, as China did. As I said, the EU did approve its initial limited package of counter tariffs today. They haven't taken effect. You know, whether Trump will be as au fait with the minutiae of all that details remains to be seen. So, right. You know, Europe still has to find out if it's off the list before it can start lifting its own or pausing its own counter tariffs.
All right. We'll be keeping an eye on that and on future statements from Europe. But Jack Power, for now, thanks very much for joining us on that. Jack Power, Europe correspondent with the Irish Times. Let's get reaction from our panel here in studio on that. Paula Butterley, when you heard the announcement this evening, it came in the middle of the 6-1. Simon Harris was doing an interview with David McCullough and the Truth Social post dropped right in the middle of it. It was certainly unexpected.
I think, when it comes to the American administration, a calm and measured approach and a slow and steady approach is the very approach to be taking in this case, because we have found that the administration does tend to change tack quite quickly. And I think, you know, the very fact that Europe has presented with a united and firm front, standing all together, has shown perhaps to the US administration, coupled perhaps with the fact that we have the issue there with the bonds markets, has shown that perhaps, you know, there was a moment there for them to stop and reflect and see if these tariffs were the right thing. We all know the tariffs aren't good, you know, and President Trump seemed hell-bent on imposing those tariffs. But even within a few days, we have seen the effects of that. We have seen Europe with Ireland as part of that united front, ready to face down, but at the same time, always open there to negotiate and do the best thing. That doesn't mean suffering for the consumers within Europe, doesn't mean suffering for any businesses within Europe, but also that the American consumers are not going to suffer as a result of these tariffs. So it is to be welcomed. I think we have to pause still, reflect a moment, see what comes next in regards to that. But, you know, as I said, it's definitely to be welcomed this evening.
All right, Jed Nash.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is to be welcomed. And what it does show is, and what it proves is that President Trump is malleable. And he does respond to shifts in bond markets. He does respond to unprecedented movement downwards in the stock market. I had discussions earlier on today with representatives of the Irish pharmaceutical sector, and offline I was making the point that, look, the response that the Labour Party has been advocating for, and that the government has been advocating for, and that the European Union has adopted, the calm, measured, graduated response to this unprecedented intervention that's upended the accepted global economic order, that was the right approach. And that's been proven to be the case. And I said earlier today in another forum that the Chinese intervention was in some ways the canary in the coal mine. So we now know that Trump has been tested. He has blinked, He can't defy gravity and he can't outrun this. So the reality has now dawned on him that the intervention that he made last week has been catastrophic for not just the global world, but for the US economy as well.
In the scenarios that were mapped out by the ESRI, they had a 10% scenario and a 20% scenario. The 10% scenario was still pretty bad.
Absolutely, but compared to where we were this time last week, and remember, it was actually exactly a week ago that President Trump made this extraordinary set of announcements in the Rose Garden. And it is early, too early to say, and I'm looking at analysis of this.
We will come back to that. I just want to get Rory Murphy's initial reaction
because, you know, the situation we're in at the moment, are the European initiative taken in recent days, are they considered to be retaliatory measures or not?
All right.
And that's going to be interesting just to deduce what the position
time
is.
Will tell. Yeah. Rory O'Murphy.
Time will tell.
Well, look, we have
space to negotiate.
We absolutely, yeah, we have a space. We have 90 days. We and you're probably dealing with a very different Donald Trump than even what we heard during the week when he spoke about, what was it? I am telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything. I'll do anything, sir.
For anyone who's only listening and not watching on the RT News Channel, Rory is smiling as he reads those lines.
I am indeed. But look, no, the reality is we're dealing with chaos. We're dealing with what looked like, you know, if you dealt with what Donald Trump said was an attempt to reorientate the world economy. But the bond markets came back to bite. And I think now that he's in a different place, that we have to make sure that we do everything from a point of view of engagement and we get to a sensible place around all of this. And I understand that sensible might look very different than what it looked like before Donald Trump entered the White House this time. But what he was looking at, because like it's obviously it's an attack on Europe, it's an attack on the wider world, it's an attack on people America would have seen as allies, but it's also absolute self-sabotage, because obviously what happened in the 1930s is that the American market imploded. And now you have Europe looking in very different ways. You know, the Draghi report and the idea of a self-sustainable European economy is now a serious conversation piece and strategic autonomy. But we have to make sure we look after Irish interests. And first and foremost, it's about proper engagement. And I think it looks like Donald Trump may be open to that. But we will need clarity over the next couple of days.
OK, Paula Butterley, though, it is worth this 90-day period. We don't know what's going to happen afterwards. It may be that these tariffs will be reimposed if whatever negotiations are held don't go the way Donald Trump wants them to go. We simply don't know. It's 90 days to plan for the worst, isn't it?
I think we've been planning as a government for, you know, we didn't start planning last week or the week before. There was always, everybody is well aware that President Trump was always in favour of imposing tariffs on the world, essentially, as it turned out. So I think despite this pause, we still have to sit down, continue to model the different scenarios, you know, expect the unexpected, I think, is the fairest way of putting it when it comes to the relationship at the moment and how these tariffs may play out. But I think there is also, you know, two reasons for hope. First and foremost, that there is a pause now. And from that pause, it could be continued and the door is open to negotiate even further with the American administration. But also in the event that something that these tariffs are imposed at 10%, and you were right in saying that at 10%, you still could have a very negative impact on the different economies and in particular the Irish economy. But we're coming from a place where we're in a financially good place. We can weather a storm, be it over a sustained period of time. So that's a positive. We've come through a series of events over the last 10 years, from Brexit to COVID to the cost of living with the Ukraine war. So I'm confident that we'll manage this and manage this very well. Yeah. Regardless of what the outcome is going to be.
All right. Although, Jed Nash, there will be an expectation given, you know, the last couple of crises, be that COVID and job supports that were put in place there, or energy cost supports that were put in place following the Ukraine war. You know, people will be expecting more of the same, whereas the message seems to be that, you know, this is expectation management and that the primary interest of government will be capital infrastructure and that kind of investment, not those current expenditure supports.
Well, so we've been told, but this can be really has to serve as a wake-up call as well, though, for this administration. We've been reminded time and again whether it's on the floor of the Dáil or whether it's by expert economists and public policy specialists, that there are vulnerabilities inherent in our economic model and in our taxation model. And those vulnerabilities won't go away. We can't bury our heads in the sand on that. It's why the Labour Party now is responsible for our fiscal programme ahead of the election. Introduced a set of quite responsible and prudent proposals, given the headwinds that we were going to face and the vulnerabilities inherent in our corporation tax model and indeed our excessive
reliance. You're talking about not cutting USC or other tax cuts.
That's right. And the only way in which we would decide to address any issues around personal taxation would be, for example, indexation. So in other words, if you get an increase in your pay, that should not affect your take-home pay. And that's entirely manageable, but at the same time, prioritising the infrastructure development we need to do the very things that I think that we all want to do, which is to make sure that the Irish economy becomes more competitive. I said time and again, the biggest threat, in fact, to the Irish economic model of the last few years wasn't necessarily the spectre of a Donald Trump second term in the White House. It was the inability of the previous administration, and let's test this one now, to actually introduce the kind of infrastructure development we need, including the provision of housing, which would address the competitive problems that we have.
Rory O'Murray, 90 days to plan for the worst. What should that planning look like?
Well, here, that planning should have started long before this, and I accept that there has been a significant amount of engagement. I'd also imagine, though, some of that engagement was probably one way, but we are in a different place now. Look, we all brought up the issue and have been contacted by many people, including a particular medtech company who already spoke about their orders being cancelled and the fact that there needs to be real engagement around making sure that those companies are protected to some degree, depending on whatever is coming down the line from a point of view of once we get beyond
supports
it.
To retain their specialist
workforce. We need to have a conversation with them on their wants and needs, and it would absolutely have to be targeted. But look, my party met with the American Chamber of Commerce in the last while, and literally, obviously, half the discussion was about the tariffs, but very quickly they got into the issues that exist, you know, because we're talking about efficiencies, and it's not only obviously housing from a point of view of workers, it's also the planning issues, it's the fact that there are huge obstacles in relation to red tape, in relation to getting anything done. Now that's no shock to anybody who's been looking. We also know the issues that they are in relation to absolute disastrous overspending from the OPW and whatever, so we have to get our own house in order. We have had a wake-up call.
I doubt the American Chamber of Commerce raised that one.
No, I am bringing that bit up.
Okay, we're going to go to the listeners just to get a bit of reaction before we go to the break and move on to our next topic. Sorry, it's all about the bond markets. These tariffs will melt away like snow in the ditch, says John in Tremor. And another John, this time in Cork, says, complete U-turn from Trump. His team has obviously been spooked by the bond market. Best he plays more and more golf. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute looking at the story of Michael Shine, a paedophile who has been alleged to have abused 360 boys in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda. We're going to talk to Saoirse McGarrigle, a freelance journalist who has done an awful lot of work on this, and get the latest on the story. Back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.